my family got a digital camera for Christmas, and we took all the pictures of everybody unwrapping gifts and, you know, holding up sweaters and everything. And my dad has a PC, and he plugs the camera in, and it comes up, and it's like, ah! So he gets on the internet and starts downloading things for about an hour. Who wants to sit on Christmas afternoon and download Windows drivers? On my PowerBook, I just took the camera and put a cord from the camera to the computer, and it automatically downloaded all the pictures. My name is Janie Porsche, and I saved Christmas.
Hello, and welcome to Cassie Best 30 Plus Minute Apple Conversation. You're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Aaron Elijah. Joining me today, his yearly Apple purchases rival Johnny Ive's V-neck purchases. Leander Caney is here.
Hello, Evan.
That's tens of thousands of dollars right there. Also joining us, he's been staring all day at Leander's big, beautiful new iPad Pro, doe-eyed. And every so often, he just lets out a soft little whimper. Lewis Wallace is here.
Jeez, man, you got this place tapped?
Yeah, don't worry, we're going to get you one too, Lewis.
It's great to be here. Take my mind off that big, beautiful iPad Pro.
Beautiful iPad. I've been looking at it all day. Because you have the older one, right?
I have the 10.5-inch iPad Pro.
Yeah, that's the older one.
Yeah, I don't have the, you know, gigantic one. My wife
the
does.
The super giant.
Yeah.
Although I hear it's not so giant anymore. Like, they've made it so much smaller that it actually feels like a normal-sized iPad with an oversized screen. Is that what you're thinking too, Leander?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I actually had to check it. I looked at the model number to make sure I had a 12.9-inch iPad.
You're the second person I've heard say that.
Well, because I was like, you know, is this really, the same screen size as the previous one? And of course it is. And then I put the two together, there's a slight difference. It's actually a little bit narrower in one dimension.
Uh-huh.
But it is a I was so surprised. I was really, really surprised. I was like, man, how could this really be a 12.9-inch iPad? It feels the same size as a regular iPad.
The original 12.9-inch iPad, it was comically large. I couldn't believe that people actually bought that and seriously used that.
Well, I've been
just
using that
iPad
as my main iPad.
Been using it like in bed and stuff.
Yeah, for a year because my wife broke hers and so I gave up the. I had another regular sized one. So she got that, and then I've been using this Pro. So I've been.
Do you
using
have to like read for 3 or 4 minutes, and then put it down on your chest and rest, and then pick it up and like read it, and then
put it
down and rest?
I have this special thing, you know, where I prop my arm up like against the wall.
So it's a special technique
against the wall. And then I can hold it, you know, to read on for periods of time like that. But yeah, it definitely is. You know, it definitely does make your arm worry because my arm looks like Popeye now, like a crab. You know, I got this weird misshapen arm on one side from holding the iPad.
All right, well, so Leander clearly has the new iPad Pro. So here's what we're going to do this show. I mean, Leander's going to share his insights on the new iPad Pro. I've actually pre-ordered one. I haven't gotten it yet, and I also haven't gotten my Apple Watch. And by the way, those things are...
This is like the second year now.
It's a never-ending story. I'm waiting for Falcor to show up and deliver it to me. The Apple Watch Series 5 is going to be out by the time I actually get my Series 4. I think I said this on a previous show. Everyone's starting to order these en masse now because it's the holiday season. And so it's going to be even harder to get the Apple Watch and all of these gadgets. So I'll probably have my iPad Pro sometime, you know, in the second half of 2019. But we're going to talk about the first impressions of the iPad Pro. The roundups are out, of course. Everyone's talking about what they think about the iPad. So we'll run through those, and we'll tell you about a beautifully, comically ridiculous new accessory for the iPad Pro that couldn't exist before, and now it's out there. And actually, it looks like something that might be useful, but we'll talk about that. We'll do a 2018 MacBook Air roundup. I don't even know if anyone even wants to listen to this. Does anyone care about the MacBook Air? I really don't know. It might just be 5 or 6 people listening at that point, but people are talking about it. It is an interesting machine. It is so similar to the MacBook, confusingly similar, actually. And so we'll do that. And then I'm going to wrap up the show with my first two weeks with the iPhone XR. Now, I don't know if anyone cares about this device either. I just heard that Apple has been cutting orders back on the iPhone XR because they haven't been selling as well as they expected.
They say that every year. That's baloney.
I think it might be too because
it comes earlier every year. In fact,
Does you mean the people are keep saying it earlier and earlier once the phone gets
released?
Yeah, the
same rumor every single year.
Yeah, I don't buy this, especially with how expensive the new 10R or the 10S and 10S Max are. I still think that these 10Rs are going to sell like crazy, especially having owned one now for the last 2 weeks. It's, spoiler alert, it's an incredible phone, especially for the price. Although it is not without its deficiencies. So I'll tell you about what I love and what I really don't love about this phone. And I am a little bit still on the fence about whether or not I'm going to keep it. I have to decide whether or not I'm going to do that by tomorrow. Part of me wants to go back to my iPhone 10. I still have it, but part of me wants to keep that big, beautiful iPhone 10R. So we'll do all that. Let's see here. Before we jump into the show, I want to thank OpsGenie for supporting this episode. Incidents happen. Thankfully, OpsGenie empowers devs and ops teams to plan for service disruptions and stay in control during incidents. It also gives teams the power to respond quickly and efficiently to unplanned issues and helps notify all the right people through a smart combination of scheduling and escalation paths. With OpsGenie, your next incident doesn't stand a chance. Visit OpsGenie.com to sign up to get a free company account and add up to 5 team members. That's OpsGenie.com. Never miss a critical alert again with OpsGenie, OpsGenie.com. Also want to thank Gantry for supporting this episode. Upgrade from boring IKEA lights with a 3D printed light from Gantry. Gantry offers over 30 unique 3D printed lights created by independent designers from all over the world. Unlike typical 3D printed things you see, Gantry's 3D printed lights are much higher quality. You can even try them out using AR on any iOS 12 device. I just tried this. It's incredible. You can put their lights right on your desk and see exactly what they look like. It's super slick. And they sent me a product. It is beautiful. They completely changed the way people do 3D printing. They have built their own machines. They have created new compounds to use in the 3D printed process. So normally when you think of 3D printed products, you think of cheap garbage. This is nothing like what you've seen. It's extraordinarily high quality, and they will print you your own light and send it to you. And these lights are beautiful. Check them out at gantry.com/cultcast. Gantry, GANTRI.com/cultcast. See the lights they have and project them using AR kit. Project them right on your desk and see how they look. If you like lighting like I do, I think you're really going to love what they have to offer here. If you sign up at gantry.com/cultcast, you can get $20 towards your next purchase, or use gift code CULTCAST during checkout and you'll get $20 off your purchase. Gantry.com/cultcast. Okay, Leander, tell me about that big, beautiful 2018 iPad Pro. Does Tracy know you bought it yet, or are you hiding that from her?
She was giving us some stink eye yesterday. I think she's for specs.
She's like, that one looks different than the other one that right. I saw you using in bed.
Yeah, exactly.
But so how do you like it so far?
It's awesome. It's really, really great. The design is fantastic. And like I said, the size is really surprising. But it's all screen. It's super fast. I love the Face ID is just a miracle. It's just a modern day magic. It's really, you know, because it completely changes how, you know, like passwords just aren't a, you know, they're not a problem anymore. They're not a barrier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I set it up from a backup, and so I downloaded all my old apps. But then of course, when the first time you use them, you got to log back in again. Mm-hmm. And that was always like a huge ordeal, you know, because you had to like go find the passwords and copy and paste. And with iOS 12 now, working with it in apps and with Face ID, you know, it's just, it's really, really easy. It makes that, it just takes away that huge headache. And then of course, you know, opening it up as well, it seems to, I think it works at slightly better angles than the phone does.
Mm-hmm.
It was sitting on the table and I swiped up and because it was at an angle, it didn't see me, but then I kind of leaned in just a little bit and boom, it opened right up. And I'll have to test it out like more carefully, but I think the angle's better than it is for the phone.
It's got to be, because it works in multiple orientations.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah. And then at one time, I did, you know, it seems to work through your, it's somehow it's, it magically works through your fingers too, you know, your hands.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one time when it said my hand was in the way, that the camera's being obscured, and it gives you a little arrow and it points to the camera, because it's actually not clear, you know, like it doesn't have an orientation anymore. So it's not clear where the camera is. until that little arrow shows up. And it only did it one time. So I move my hand out of the way, and boom, it opens right up again. And I like the gestures, you know, on the iPad, and I've gotten used to them on the phone this past year or so. So, you know, it's really nice to use, really easy to use, really quick. I'm going to download some photo apps over the weekend. I really want to take them. I was messing around with the pencil. The pencil's great. The pencil really is fantastic. You know, like, even though I don't do a lot of pencil stuff, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to figure out how to, like, edit photos using the pencil. Mm-hmm. Because I was surprised at how precise this thing was. I was fiddling around in the Notes app, doing some sketches and playing around with different, size of the nibs and erasing stuff and things. And it really is, you know, amazingly fine and detailed. I'd really love to be able to learn how to draw. So I might, you know, dig into that. I might really try to learn how to do that.
I kind of want to do the same thing. That's one of the reasons why I pre-ordered the pencil as well. I have absolutely no practical use for it. I'm like maybe spending $130 on it will motivate me to actually use it and do some drawing.
You're right.
What do you think about the screen so far? I mean, have you noticed any visual improvements? Because you had the last generation iPad. Did you have a moment when you said, oh my gosh, the screen's so much better?
No, I didn't do it side to side. I think the last screen was pretty good too, wasn't it? On the 12.9 inch iPad.
Yeah, they've all been great.
To be honest, I don't know what kind of changes they've made. I mean, it's not an OLED screen. It's still an LCD, isn't it? And it has True Tone and, I'll have to do a side by side. I mean, I honestly didn't notice that there was a difference between the two. It wasn't like, you know, this was crazy great that it just blew me away. But I watched I was watching a couple of HD videos, and the sound is really good. You know, it's got four speakers now in each corner, and they say they have tweeters and subwoofers or woofers in each. It did sound good. It wasn't like, you know, a home pod or something like that. But it definitely was good. It definitely was really good. And it's fun to have the sound coming from, you know, from all four corners. Uh-huh. And of course, you know, the video looked really good. I mean, I pulled up some 4K stuff, and it looked amazing. It looked really, really, really nice.
What about the responsiveness, the speed? Did you notice any significant improvements over the previous iPad?
You know, the old iPad wasn't slow. I didn't have any problems with that. It didn't lag. So this one, I hadn't. You know, again, I haven't noticed that it's significantly different. That it's that much faster. You know, I got to do some stuff on it that really taxes it. You know, I'll have to download a game or something like that and play around with that.
A game would be a good idea, because I was just going to say, I don't know if there anything that does tax it. That's the problem.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Truly, iOS is now the limiting factor on the iPad. These things are so screaming fast. I think one of the problems is there aren't really any professional apps or apps in general that actually push this thing to the limits. The hardware is so many leaps and bounds ahead of the software that there's nothing that can even make it break a sweat. I mean, people were trying to make it stutter and sputter, and there's no app that can make it do that at this point.
Yeah, not able to do it. Yeah, I can believe that. I can believe that.
Whereas if you had a Mac, you could boot up Final Cut Pro, you could boot up another video editing app, and you could have it exporting a video, and it will push the hardware to its max, and you could tell, based upon the time it takes to export that video, how much more powerful, in practical terms, the hardware has become. But with the iPad, it's like your Netflix videos run just as fast, right?
Yeah,
there's
right.
not really anything to gauge how much better the hardware actually is. And let me run through some of these other first impressions from some of the other websites that were reviewing the iPad Pro. Everyone had great things to say about it, but everyone kind of reached the same conclusion. And we'll talk about that here again in a second. But The Verge says, nothing is ever slow, and it feels like there's headroom to work with. There's always more headroom to work with. We were able to import several minutes of 4K footage into Adobe Premiere Rush and edit them and export them without breaking a sweat. PocketLint said, the new iPad Pro is pretty much a laptop in terms of performance thanks to the new 7-nanometer process. Side by side with an iPad Pro 10.5, we noticed a considerable difference in app loading time, certainly in processor-intense apps like iMovie, Affinity Photo, Procreate, and games like Fortnite. Oh, you got to try that, Leander. There you go.
Fortnite? Okay, yeah. My son plays, so I'll get him to...
That'd be more interesting if you did it, but yeah. But
well, I tried to, and I was like, did you see the SNL sketch when they were making fun of Fortnite, you know, like a Fortnite newbie? And
no.
It's pretty funny, but that's what I'm like. I just have no clue what I'm doing. I don't know where to go, how to use anything.
Yeah, and Fortnite is probably one of the most confusing games ever made if you are just coming to it brand new, because there's so many different weird dynamics in that game that don't exist in any other game. Let's see here. Wired said, no apps or games I've used have been able to make the Pro break a sweat at all, and benchmark numbers have been impressive. By every measure I can think of, these are the best, most powerful, most capable iPads I've ever used. Well, that's kind of a given, isn't it? I mean, doesn't happen. I know, every
year. People making fun of that, weren't they? It's the best iPad they've ever made. Yeah,
well. I know. It's hard not to make that statement, but it is the best iPad ever made. So, you know, what are you going to do? They also went on to say it would be a total waste of $1,000 to use the iPad Pro 12.9 inch just for binging on Netflix.
Uh-oh.
But damn, does that screen look good? They went on to say. Wire also noted that the new Liquid Retina screens are gorgeous and packed with pixels. Color is vibrant and precise enough for photoshopping and minute color tweaking if needed. This was interesting. So The Verge put out a video on YouTube about what you can plug into the USB-C port and how it actually works. I'll link to it in the show notes if you guys want to check it out. But Nilay Patel was saying, like everything about the new iPad Pro, that USB-C connector is both remarkably powerful and incredibly frustrating. With one huge exception, most normal stuff you'd expect to plug into the USB-C works, but a bunch of other things don't work. Like, one extremely important thing that does not work is iOS still does not support external storage. So if you plug in...
This is a load of baloney.
You don't think this is important?
No, not at all. It's ridiculous. I find it's really peculiar. You know, like, people are trying to recreate what they used to do. I mean, because I've been reading about a lot of this stuff, too. You know, this big debate at the moment. And it's when the Mac first came out with the mouse and the graphical user interface, and you know, a whole bunch of people said, oh, it looks pretty, but it's just a toy. You know, it doesn't do real stuff. It doesn't do real workflows. It's mm-hmm. like they called it a Fisher-Price computer.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a couple of people highlighted these reviews on Twitter. You know, from back in 1984 when the Mac first came out, and there was a lot of skepticism. You know. In fact, almost industry-wide skepticism, you know, like the Mac really didn't take off, did it, for a good year or so until desktop publishing came along and you know, sort of gave the reason, the Mac a really good reason to exist. But, you know, and so people were pointing out that this is reminiscent, you know, the complaints are saying, they're complaining that they can't do what they do on their laptops, what they do on their iPads, but the iPad is completely a different, you know, it's a different paradigm, it's a different machine, it's a different platform. So, you know, there are ways to do it, but you can't do it the same way.
Well, like, there are ways to do many things, but there aren't ways to do everything. I mean, that's the problem. They bill the new iPad Pro as a laptop replacement, but it can't do all the things that a laptop can do.
Well, right, but you know, like Benedict Evans, who's a venture capitalist here in Silicon Valley, he's pointing out, and which I think is a really good point. It's like, you know, people are complaining they can't do about certain workflows, you know, like with Photoshop. But Photoshop is installed on perhaps, you know, 1% of all the world's PCs,
mm-hmm.
and there are billions and billions of users. I mean, like, there's a billion users on iOS right now, and look at all the people. Look at what people are doing on iOS with their iPhones that you can't do on a laptop. Look at how easy it's made to do a whole bunch of different things. There's a whole bunch of new things you can do, right? Like, you know, look, everything from Uber to my brain is freezing, but.
I know what you're saying, but an iPhone is a different type of gadget because it's a portable device.
It's a portable computer, right.
And the iPad isn't used in the same way. It's not something that you keep in your pocket and can pull out whenever you need it. It's more like a laptop.
It's like, we should have had Buster on here. Buster was saying, you know, like Buster does a lot of photo editing, like on his iPad, right? Mm-hmm. And he thinks that photo editing is, and I've heard this from a few other people, photo editing is better on the iPad than it is on a computer. Because, you know, for a start, you can edit the photo directly. You can, you know, especially with a pencil. It's not abstracted away. You're not doing it with a mouse, you know, or a trackpad.
But I would say that is the one and sole example of an iPad doing something from a productivity standpoint that is better than an actual laptop. in practically every other circumstance that I can think of, maybe there are examples that I can't think of, using a laptop is going to be faster and easier than using an iPad. Like, well, editing a movie, certainly going to be much better on a notebook than it is on an iPad.
I don't know about
iPad.
That. I mean, the little bit of editing I've done, which is, you know, sort of iMovie level editing, I much preferred it on the iPad and on the iPhone.
Yes, but that is an amateur activity. They're billing this as a pro machine. This is a laptop replacement. So if you're just making iMovie stuff, that's fine. Buying an iPad Pro, I mean, everyone can buy one. You don't have to be a quote-unquote professional to get one. I mean, most people buying one, I think, are not nearly going to max out its potential. But they're billing this as a professional machine that's a laptop replacement. I mean, if they're billing this as something that you can use to create movies, and people who are creating movies are creating them in Final Cut Pro, in, I'm forgetting the name of the application, Adobe Premiere, and those applications are complex and sophisticated, and you can't recreate those experiences on an iPad. So I would argue that, yeah, you could make a movie on the iPad, but it's going to be a diminished experience. You're not going to do anything like on a serious production level on an iPad because it's just not built to handle those types of workflows.
Well, you know, probably because that software, the Final Cut Pro, hasn't been put, or, you know, some equivalent, doesn't exist for the iPad. I don't know because I'm not a movie editor, but
no, I think you're right, and I think that is that. That's why I said earlier the limiting factor of the iPad now is iOS. And
well, that's what people are saying, but I'm skeptical. You know, I don't know if I agree. Like you said, you know, like there are definitely some professional workflows that you know some people use that they can't recreate because the software's not there or the I/O is not there. They can't do things like plug in an external drive. But I think, you know, like we talked about this last week, didn't we? You know, the definition of pro is so wide that even if you can't accommodate every single use case, I think there's a whole bunch of use cases where you can, where it is a pro machine. I mean, like, you know, I would call myself a pro. I'm really tempted now to really, 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 really dedicate myself to using this iPad as my sole and only machine.
I thought you were about to say, I'm really thinking about considering like putting a professional in my title and just letting people know, right. Like, what do you do? I'm a pro.
Well,
I'm
after,
just a pro.
After,
yeah.
After I master this on the iPad, then I think I might be able to do that. I should do that.
Well, to your point, there have been people who have reached out to me on Twitter and in the very exclusive Cult Club. And we've been having these conversations all week. And one of the guys said, he's like, I'm an IT manager and I can do my entire job from my iPad. And I'm like, okay, there you go. I mean, you're using this machine in a professional fashion. I guess in my mind, when I think pro, I think creative professional. That's always been the connection for me. You're talking about a pro. You're talking about someone who is using this for some type of creative work, photography, videography, editing. And so in that regard, the iPad is not a professional device. You cannot use this day in, day out on a professional basis and have it do everything that you needed to do. It's just the software isn't there. And again, I renew my calls. I can't believe that I'm doing this. I renew my calls for a hybridized iOS experience. They need to make like an iOS 12 Pro version that mixes the experience of iOS with macOS and gives you access to the file system, has real multi-window support, and I hate to say this. I'm going to whisper it. Make it more like the Surface. Huh? Who said that? Who said that? Somebody just ran by my microphone and said that and then ran off. I'll look for him later. But then you could open up your iPad. You can use it with a mouse and have the full computing experience, but it would also be super, ultra, mega portable. And then you get to access the full power, the massive monster power of the A12 Bionic, and put that machine and utilize it at its full capacity. Whereas right now, it really is like a sports car with a governor on it. It could go 200 miles an hour, but there's a governor and you're only able to drive it 60 miles per hour. And so what's the point of all that horsepower if there's nothing to actually take advantage of it?
Yeah, well, I mean, the one thing that everyone has said exactly the same thing. All these reviews have said, you can't access external storage. And as if that is the one defining thing that makes this a non-pro machine. But, you know, like, storage is going in the cloud anyway.
Oh, don't even get me started about the cloud.
It's
don't even get me started about the cloud.
And all these cloud-based workflows, you know. Like
yes,
they're all...
but when I make a YouTube video, I create about 60 to 70 gigs worth of data. And the cloud is not able to handle that. I have to have hard drives on site and moving files on and off those hard drives all the time. And I keep my active files on my MacBook Pro, and then anything else I'm not actively working on, I export to a hard drive and, you know, archive them. And so if you're doing creative work, I mean, especially considering the iPad Pro, the storage capacities are limited and they're expensive. And so now you're not able to access an external hard drive to offload your work. I mean, you're making it even more difficult for people to use these iPads for creative type work. I mean, photography the same. I mean, if you have a large photo library, you might be talking about a 20 gig library that you're using.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe Adobe's going to address that in some way. I actually haven't used Lightroom on the iPad. I've heard good things about it. The editing experience, I think to your point, is top notch. But the file management, I think, is where you're really going to have problems right now.
Well, I wonder whether Apple's going to address this, because, you know, like if it's true, if this is the point, you know, the biggest sticking point, then they're going to have to address it, aren't they?
I hope that they do. I honestly could see these iPads becoming, well, I think they are their most popular computer, aren't they? I was going to say their most popular computer, but I think they already are. But I could see these being mega massively more popular than they already are among the creative community if they were able to be used more like a notebook computer. I know we're beating a dead horse. We talked about this last week too, but seeing all these reviews come out and everyone's kind of echoing the same sentiment.
Well,
it's
that's
a beautiful machine. It's the best tablet on the market, bar none, by far, but it does have some limitations.
I think the reviews remind me of, like, you know, like the gate. Every year there's a gate, right? You know, Ben Gate. And this kind of this sort of herd mentality amongst tech pundits like ourselves, you know, like everyone sort of picks up on the same bugbear, and then it becomes this thing, you know. So now everyone's talking about the inability of this machine to do external storage. But, you know, like I can't remember the last time I plugged in a thumb drive or used an external hard drive. Like in my, you know, my workflow, which, you know, to be honest, isn't like I'm not a video editor, I'm not an audio editor, I'm not doing, you know, photo editing or you know, like the creative work that you were talking about. But, you know, for me, it's a non-issue. And I think for a lot of people, it's a non-issue. And, like, you know, you could talk about, like, all the realtors who, you know, they're out in the field, or sales managers, or people who work in warehouses. You know, cousin-in-law or whatever he is.
Yeah.
One of my in-laws, he's a pilot. He just said, you know, they just gave him an iPad with everything he needs on this iPad. You know, and before, he used to take in, like, two giant bags of books and maps and manuals and, you know, all this paperwork that he had to do. And now it's all on his iPad. And he says it's fantastic. He loves it. There's a pro, you know, application that for him is a no-brainer. It works. It works better than it used to. And I think there's a lot of use cases like that.
Well, I'll tell you what. Regardless of the things about it that I don't love, I'm buying one. There's enough about it that I do love. That big, beautiful screen. The absolutely beautiful design of it, and I can't wait to get my hands on it sometime in the next 6 to 8 months when they finally mail mine to me. It is expensive, though. It's kind of hard to bite on this one. I mean, after all said and done, I think you're spending like
you'll get several years of good use out of it, though. I mean, you know, it's so just get you know, trickle down your old one to someone in the family.
Yeah, I might give my old iPad to my mom because she I mean, her iPad is her main computer. And you know, she uses it for taking pictures of her garden and, you know, pro level stuff.
Right. And garden pictures.
She's going to love it. But yeah, regardless of whether or not I'm going to utilize the vast capacities of the new iPad, I want one so bad, I just don't think I can turn myself away from it. I mean, it's just so beautiful and so fast and so responsive, and I love the Face ID. And I want to say that because I think sometimes I don't say these things because I think they're a given, and then people think that I'm just hating on Apple. I'm not hating on Apple. These look like great devices, and I'm really excited to get my hands on one. Let's see here. Before we talk about this really ridiculous but also highly practical hub that I wanted to mention for the new iPad Pro, let me go ahead and say thank you to the NSA. That's right. We have very powerful sponsors. You should know that about us. The National Security Agency for supporting this episode. Almost every day we hear something on the news about a cyber attack. Sometimes it's just a bunch of pranksters, but more often it's a foreign country with vast cyber resources trying to hack our power grid, our banking systems, or our military's information networks. The National Security Agency plays a big part in protecting our country from cyber attacks, and you can help. The NSA is hiring technical professionals to serve on the front lines of information security. If you work in computer science, networking, programming, or electrical engineering, you can help keep our country safe. You can design new hardware systems and networks, write faster, smarter programs, protect America's critical infrastructure, or help uncover what our adversaries are planning to do next. Learn more about careers at the National Security Agency today. Visit intelligencecareers.gov /NSA. I'm going to get this URL right. intelligencecareers.gov, G-O-V, /NSA. I did ask them about License to Kill, Leander.
Yeah. They said, yeah, sure.
They said no comments, but then the guy winked at me. So I think that's cool. A good sign. Yeah.
Was he kill anyone from 9 to 5 Mac? Or?
Wow.
Hey, I'll ask him about that. He showed me a real nice piece with a silencer on it, and I was like, whoa, cool. Okay, let's see here. Where were we? Oh, that's right. This USB hub. USB hub. This thing would make Johnny Ive cry. Did you guys see this thing? It's the most absurd looking accessory I think I've ever seen. When I saw this, I thought to myself, just when I thought I'd seen it all, look at this ridiculous looking hub they're making for the iPad Pro now, because the iPad Pro has USB-C. You plug this hub into the bottom of your iPad Pro, just bolts on there, right? It looks ridiculous, but highly practical. It has a 4K HDMI port, has a USB-A port, has SD and micro SD card readers, and an additional USB-C port so you can plug in and charge other USB accessories. So it turns the bottom of your iPad into a multifunctional USB-C port hub, and it's made by Hyper. Did they say how much this thing costs? Did you guys catch a price for this thing? I'm going to guess it's like $80.
It's not out yet, right? I don't think they've even said
no. It's not even out. I'll link to it in the show notes because I don't think they actually have a price for it yet. But yeah, it's not in the store.
Oh wait, no, there it is. 50% off regular $99 price. So if you sign up now, you can get one for $50.
Okay,
it's supposed to come out in December.
Got it. You get it for $50 now if you sign up. That's good because I thought they were going to charge $200 for this for a moment. I'm like, yeah. That's way too much money. Yeah, so $100 normally, $50 if you sign up for it now. I'm not promoting this thing. I just think it looks totally ridiculous, and it might actually be useful if you want to use this as your primary machine, so I'll link to this in the show notes. Let's talk about the 2018 MacBook Air, the beautifully redesigned MacBook Air, the laptop of the ages, the one that all people in journalism purchased, all college students purchased. It's been completely revamped, as many of you know, and many people are happy with it, but there are some things about it that people are not liking, particularly the 20% increase in price. But that's neither here nor there. I already complained about that last week. Let me tell you about, and don't bait me into speaking about it more because it's easy to get me to keep going about that. So The Verge said the laptop feels a lot nicer than the old MacBook Air. It has the same size screen in a smaller body. It's not as thin as light. It's not as thin or as light as the thinnest and lightest of laptops you can get today. When the Air first came out, it amazed everybody. This one, though very well built, does not stand out from the pack when it comes to size or weight. I heard several people mention this exact same fact. As far as innovation goes, it's just not the most innovative, lightweight laptop on the market anymore. They go on to say this new MacBook Air is faster than the old MacBook Air, but not by the kind of margin you'd expect after 3 years. TechCrunch saying, I once bought and returned the smaller MacBook because It comes with a less powerful processor that slugged when I tried to have too many browser tabs and apps open. The MacBook Air doesn't have that issue. CNBC says, I appreciate the speed, but I wish Apple included its Face ID technology above the screen. I'm used to it on my iPhone XS Max, and there seems to be plenty of room above the display to fit the camera as required. The Touch ID feels outdated. That's exactly how I feel about my new MacBook Pro. Are you telling me I spent $3,300 on a MacBook Pro and it still has Touch ID? They're still selling computers with Touch ID. And I have a feeling the next generation of MacBook Pros, I think that the new marquee feature is going to be Face ID. And I'm going to cry because they're going to have faster GPUs.
Well, the question is, why haven't they put it in before?
I don't know.
Why didn't it come there first?
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of feels like a no-brainer, doesn't it? And now that they've built it into the iPad, it seems like it's only going to be a matter of time before they bring it into the new MacBook Pro. And, you know, they're not going to wait 2 years. Definitely not.
3 months after the next MacBook Pro ships.
There you go. That's exactly what they're going to do. Maybe less, Lewis. Maybe 2 to 3 weeks. 2 to 3 weeks after the pre-orders have been fulfilled. They'll say, oh, by the way, new Face ID. Yeah, which is going to be a bummer because the Touch ID on my MacBook Pro now, it's fine, but it's not Face ID. And, you know, I couldn't be bothered to lift my finger and put it on the Touch ID pad now. It just feels so antiquated. Let's see here. There's one big thing reviewers don't like about the MacBook Air, and that's a lack of connectivity. Why did I say that word so strangely? I have no idea. Just like the Mac and MacBook Pro, the new Air does away with MagSafe.
Does that upset USB-A? Anyone?
What's that?
Does that upset anyone?
Oh, no. Don't. No.
He's trying to bait me. Ladies and gentlemen, he's trying to bait me.
Reel him in.
I feel it. It's in my cheek. You're pulling me in. I can't resist. No, Lewis, I have nothing to say about said issue, about the MagSafe, the greatest invention in all of computing history, being removed for no apparent reason from the notebook line. That's fine with me. They also removed USB-A ports and the SD card reader slot, which, according to Phil Schiller, is not a professional port. And they replaced them with just two USB-C ports, which immediately render all of your accessories that you've purchased over the years absolutely useless. So you'll be spending money on new dongles and living that dongle lifestyle.
That's another thing. We should talk about dongles 1 week. I don't think dongles are that bad.
No.
No, I know everyone hates them, but they're okay.
You know, I like to joke about dongles. I don't like them. I don't have the deepest of disdain for them. What I don't like is that you have to spend a bunch of extra money on them, first of all, and then you have to carry them around with you. And then you have to carry them in your bag, and you might need one or two, and it just seems like, for instance, they're never with you when you actually need them. I had my MacBook Pro in my house the other day, and I wanted to plug in a portable SSD that I use for video editing to pull in some video contents. Couldn't do it because I don't have USB-A on my computer and I didn't have a dongle with me. So it's just little inconveniences like that that you'll start to run into when you get a new computer and your accessories don't work. That's never happened to you, Leander? You never run into that situation?
Yeah, it has indeed. It has indeed. But, you know, plenty of other times, though, you know, like if I was going to do something, it was like, okay, I got to take this dongle with me. I grab the appropriate dongle and I take it with me. You know, and I don't do that every single time. Like you, I've forgotten or I haven't got the dongle I needed when I needed it. Oh, but, man. You know, I find you only need a dongle on very rare occasions. And when you do need it, you know, it's not that onerous to use a dongle.
I just feel like whenever I need one, it's not there. And then I have to get up and go across, you know, my house and go get one. Or it's in my office instead of in the house. I mean, it's never there when I need one. It's a major inconvenience for me personally because I'm constantly plugging in hard drives and different accessories into my computer. Not to mention the SD card slot's missing, so I'd have to buy an additional SD card reader. It's just one thing after another. And then there's MagSafe, Leander, that's missing too. You can't re-dongle the MagSafe, although I feel like they should figure out a way to add that back in. What a massive omission that is. Let me also say there are some confusing things about the MacBook Air. We talked about these last week, but here's some more details about why this is confusing. So the MacBook Air is actually more powerful than the MacBook now, but it's actually $100 less. So it's more powerful, but it's cheaper. The MacBook is 3/4 of a pound lighter than the MacBook Air. The MacBook Air used to be their lightest model, hence the name, the MacBook Air. Both the MacBook and the Air both get about 9.5 hours of battery life, so about the same battery life when you have them out and about. They both have the same usability when you're using them out in the real world. But the MacBook is actually thinner than the MacBook Air at its thickest point, because you know the MacBook Air kind of curves like a teardrop. These computers are so similar to one another, it makes me wonder what Apple's going to do with the MacBook, because it seemed like the MacBook was going to cannibalize the MacBook Air, and now it kind of seems like the MacBook Air is going to cannibalize the MacBook, because these computers are just, they're pretty much the exact same thing, except the MacBook comes with an extra 128 gigabytes SSD space, so 256, at the base model, which is why it's more expensive, I think. So the whole thing is just terribly confusing. And all I got to say is, I hate to invoke his name, but if Steve Jobs were still with us, this never would have happened.
Right.
He would have looked at their entire product line and said, "What the hell is this, Tim?" And Tim would have looked at him bashfully and said, "Sorry, y'all." And they would have cleaned it up.
That's right. Although they did have a similar mess when Steve was around.
For what?
Well, you know, it started off clean, but it got messier and messier as the years went on.
You mean as far as product offerings go?
Yeah.
It's kind of all over the place, isn't it? I mean, for a while I needed like an infographic just to understand the models of iPads that were still available.
Yeah.
Because they kept releasing new ones. Yeah, exactly. They kept releasing new ones, and then they would really like make the current ones less expensive and move those down the line. It was getting to be so.
Is anyone bitching about the keyboard
on the new MacBook Air?
Yeah.
Yes, but not for any reasons. Well, for not because they think it's defective in any way, just because it's just so shallow. You know, honestly, I'm not in love with the keyboard on my MacBook Pro either. I keep recalling something that Lewis said before I bought it. He was just talking about how it felt like you were typing on glass. That's exactly what it feels like. The keys have absolutely no give whatsoever. And so it just creates a more uncomfortable experience when your fingers land on the keys because there's no cushion and there's no travel. I've had this computer for a month now, and I'm used to it, but I don't love it. I still miss the scissor mechanisms from my old MacBook Pro because those keys, they just felt so great. You'd hit them, and they would travel the perfect
squishy.
Distance.
It was like typing on lily pads. They were all over the place.
Oh, come on. It wasn't that bad. They weren't that squishy.
It's like they had the new ones.
It's like the difference between... you know, those running shoes that have like, you know, super thin soles so you can feel the earth under you versus like, hey, these are comfortable shoes.
Yeah, right. It's like free runners, barefoot running shoes versus like some orthopedic, you know, monster type, you know, massive soles.
No. This is what it's really like. It's like the old keyboard design was like a nice, well-designed pair of running shoes. It had only what you needed, had a great amount of padding. There was padding there, but it had the right amount of padding in the sole. The new keyboard is like those hideous, terrible shoes that have like the toes cut out that people wear. You know, you see people on the street wearing those really hideous shoes, and you're like, what the hell were you thinking? The running shoe didn't need to be reinvented. It was perfect the way it was, and now you're putting toes on all your shoes. This is completely superfluous. It didn't need to be here.
Well, think of all the space it's saving. It's so much thinner.
Oh, my space. Yeah, you're right, but it also creates a hugely uncomfortable experience.
You just have to, like, you know, ease up on the fingers. You just got to, like, you're typing, like Steve Jobs would say, you're typing it wrong.
I was waiting for, there you go, I was waiting for that. You're using it wrong, Katie over here. I was waiting for him to say that. That's exactly it. The inertia on my finger strokes is just too strong, and I need to back off. Yeah. You're
banging on it.
I'm literally holding my hands at the wrong angle. I need to like lift them up higher off the keyboard so that the momentum is slowed as I hit the keyboard.
You gotta be, yeah. You have to be sort of like fondling it. You know, you don't want to be banging it like an old, drunken journo.
You want to just be tapping
gently
it,
fondling, yeah,
gently fondling the keys. Gently, you gotta type them with a light stroke, is what you're saying. It's like la 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 la.
Feathery touch.
Okay, I'll give it a shot and I'll report back how that feels. But as of right now, yeah, it's just too shallow. I miss my old keyboard still. And I'm not sure I'll ever get used to this one. Let's see here. Before I talk about my iPhone XR story, my 2 weeks with the iPhone XR, if we have anyone left, let me give another quick thanks to LinkedIn for supporting this episode. The right hire can make a huge impact on your business. Let me give you guys an example. Do you remember that week where I was out and you guys had to do the show by yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And I was missing.
It went great. People say it's their best show it was of all year.
But it was in an ironic way that they said that, because it was such a train wreck that they actually enjoyed it. That's the difference between having the right hire and the wrong hire. You could be missing the key, the keystone of your company. You could find the right person and they can make all the difference. But finding the right person is hard. Instead of just posting on a job board, which most people don't check, post your job to a place where people go every day to make connections, grow in their career, and discover job opportunities. That is LinkedIn. Most LinkedIn members haven't recently visited the top job boards, but 9 out of 10 members are open to new opportunities. 70% of the U.S. workforce is on LinkedIn, so it's the best way to get your job opportunity in front of people who are qualified for your role and ready for something new. It's the best way to find the right person who will help you grow your business. That's why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. Check it out. Hurry to LinkedIn.com/cultcast and get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/cultcast to get $50 off your first job post. LinkedIn.com/cultcast. Terms and conditions do apply. Okay. Is there anyone left? I'm gonna just carry on and pretend like people are still here with us. I know maybe the iPhone XR isn't as hot as I thought it was going to be. Now, I love it. And I've been using it for 2 weeks now. I think I'm going to stick with it. And here's why. It's the perfect size. It's large enough to manage, but not too large to actually fit in your pocket. The iPhone XS Max is so huge. It's comically large. And even though I love having it in my hand, using it, it's practically impossible to get in your pocket, especially once you had a case on it. By the way, I wish that Apple would take the XR and turn it into a premium device and stop using it as the budget device, quote unquote, because this thing would make an amazing premium grade iPhone. It's the perfect size. Like I said, 6.1 inch screen. I hope that they do that in future iterations. My other reason, absolutely drop dead gorgeous. Beautiful. I love just looking at it. I talked about the multi-dimensional paint job last week, the back of it. You just stare into it and it feels like you're looking through the phone. It has this multi-dimensional paint job that I absolutely love. I really do think it's the most beautiful iPhone that I've ever owned. I love the materials that it's made from. And I think it's better than the iPhone XS and XS Max in that regard. The XS Max, XS, they're kind of like a piece of jewelry. They're very shiny and glossy, and they have like the stainless steel band. I don't like that look as much as I like the matte material, the aluminum, the band on the iPhone XR. Matched with the semi-gloss back on the back. Oh my goodness. Get out of here. Way better than the iPhone XS, XS Max, in my opinion. Then there's the single lens design, which I absolutely love. I love it aesthetically. I think it matches the curved body of the phone much better than that really ugly oval-shaped ingot that's stamped on the XS, XS Max. Hideous looking camera module.
Oh my God.
I know that's a silly thing, Lewis, but I'm like Johnny Ive. Aesthetics are everything to me. And so I like the way it looks, but I also like the way it functions. I think I mentioned this in a previous episode. The wide angle camera is the same camera that they use on the XS, XS Max, but you can use it for portrait mode, which means your portrait mode photos are much wider, which I think is a much more pleasing field of view than those zoomed in telephoto portrait mode photos that you get on the XS, XS Max. That's a huge difference, and I think makes the 10R in many aspects much better than the more premium phones.
People are saying the opposite, though. Did you read that, you know, Panzerino at TechCrunch was saying that he likes to do portrait photos with a telephoto lens?
Well, he's wrong, Leander. Did you not just hear what I said? I mean, what does Panzerino know?
I don't know. I was like, huh, I better look into that. That sounded like, you know, I need to learn how to do that.
Well, isn't that what it does? I mean, like, when I was trying to take that picture of you in portrait mode, it was like, I had to keep stepping back and back and back and back and back. And it was like, God, I can't get far enough away from him.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, why isn't there just a little, you know, button? I can say, oh, no, I'd rather not use that. I don't quite understand that, but...
That's a good point. Why don't they give you the option to do wide-angle wide-angle portrait mode photos?
Yeah, I mean, if it's so hot and amazing, you know, and it's got both those cameras on there, well, why can't... I mean, this doesn't make any sense. I don't get it.
I mean, it is a preference thing. I always like wide-angle more than telephoto, generally for everything. And one of the things about wide angle is it makes it harder to get that creamy bokeh that you see in the background in many photos. But the iPhone can add that in. So you get the best of both worlds. You get wide angle and you also get that delicious portrait mode bokeh. By the way, the portrait mode, it's finally in prime time on the iPhone XR. It works so well, matched with that wide aspect ratio, that wide field of view, I should say. And the bokeh, unlike the iPhone X, the iPhone X just blurred the background. The XS, XS Max, the XR, they actually create a look of bokeh. So it creates like that blurred effect, just like a camera lens would. It's beautiful. It works so well. And you pair that with the wide angle field of view, boom, get out of here. Also, the camera, huge leap forward, massive leap forward. Now, it has the same camera module as the XS, XS Max. Why do they not talk about this more on stage? I have no idea. This is the biggest leap forward in photography we've ever received on an iPhone, period. It is that good. It's unreal the types of photographs the camera can make, the iPhone XS, the XS Max, the XR, in even poor lighting conditions, low lighting conditions. I know some people don't like that smart HDR mode. I think it works great. I've been taking so many good photos with it, and that's probably the one singular reason I will end up keeping my iPhone XR is just for that purpose, is once you see the photos that it takes, you will not want to go back to your iPhone X or your previous iPhone. It's just... it's a night and day difference. It's unbelievable what they are able to pull off. And in fact, I think computational photography, it might be the photography of the future. I think this might be the way that all cameras eventually go. In fact, I wish Apple would make a professional camera just for this singular reason. Large sensors are often what people will invest in because they have a greater dynamic range. They are you able to create these really beautiful, creamy images with a huge difference between the brightest spots of the image and the darkest spots of the image. And that's what people pay for in high-dollar cameras. But the iPhone is using software to recreate that effect with a very tiny sensor. And it's able to do that very well at this stage. I mean, shockingly well, actually. And if they could build this same technology into a real DSLR or something, oh my gosh, it would revolutionize the world of photography, I think. It's that big of a feature. Apple has been able to pull off a magic trick with this software. They have been able to accomplish via software what has not yet been able to be accomplished with hardware. People, you know, hardware only moves so fast, and the really, really high-end cameras that you would have to buy to not even be able to accomplish the same type of feats are out of the price range of most mere mortals, and you're able to pull off these really beautiful images with these incredible dynamic ranges with just your iPhone. Anyway, as you can tell, I really like that about the iPhone XR. The speed, much snappier, love that. Let me talk about the sacrifices, though. I was hoping that I wouldn't notice where the compromises were made on the iPhone XR, but that's just not the case. The big thing, obviously, the screen. The screen is noticeably worse than the iPhone XS, XS Max. It's less saturated. The colors are less accurate. They don't have the same pop. Mine has a strange tinge to it, too. It almost feels like it's seasick. Like, it just constantly looks like it's tinged green.
Oh, wow, and, really? Better take that back.
You think I might need to? I actually might take it in there and just make sure that it's operating normally. I kind of was hoping that I would eventually get used to the look of the screen and not notice it anymore. That hasn't happened yet. I still notice when I look at the iPhone, this screen is not as good as the iPhone XS. And also, the screen doesn't feel as close to the glass as it does on the XS, XS Max. On those phones, it feels like you're interacting directly with the screen. On the XR, it feels like the screen is a few millimeters below the glass. And so you feel like you're touching the glass and the screen is like a couple of millimeters below it. I don't like that either. So I feel like I'm living with a compromise. I was hoping I wouldn't, but I do. And there, I also miss the telephoto lens. Now, I don't use a telephoto lens on my iPhone X for portrait mode photos, but I use it all the time in video mode. When my daughter's running around, I constantly punch into the telephoto lens and I zoom in so I can see what she's doing when she's far away. You know, so I don't have to keep an eye on her. I can just let her wander off into the neighborhood and I can just, you know, punch in telephoto and see where she is and then get back to my business. I miss that too. I miss that too, but that less so than the screen. The screen really is the big sacrifice on the iPhone XR. It's also worth mentioning that the LTE radio is like half as fast on the XR as it is on the XS Max. Although I don't really notice that in real world use at all because I'm mostly on Wi-Fi. So there you have it. But even with the screen being much worse, actually I take that back. It's not much worse. If the XS, XS Max is a 10 screen wise, the 7 is like, or the XR is like a 7. So it's not as good. It's still good, but it's noticeably worse than the XS Max. But for $750 for the 64 gigabyte, is it really worth an extra $250 to get the better screen? I don't think so. I really don't think so.
Well, I don't know. You sound like a little conflicted. You were saying one thing, and now you're saying something else.
No, I think I'm going to live with the compromise. I think for what you get, the price is too good to spend the extra money to go to the XS just for the better screen. I just don't think it's worth it, quite honestly.
There's going to be something wrong with your screen if you notice it. Like, the only time you notice a difference is when you compare them side by side. If you just look at it, you know, straight on, I don't think you're going to see any.
I notice it. I mean, that's how good the OLED screen is in the iPhone XS, XS Max. It's just so gosh darn good. I mean, forgive the language here. But it's so saturated, it's so crispy, it's so sharp. You look at the XR screen, it just doesn't look like that. It just looks inferior, really. I mean, look, I'm just being honest.
It's because it
I'm
is.
Just being honest. I mean, because it is.
I mean, it literally is inferior.
But you know what? I also got an extra $250 in my pocket, Lewis. So I'll be hitting up the buffet tonight, the King's Table.
How much extra is it a month? Like $3 a month?
I think it's $175. Well, I just purchased mine outright because I didn't qualify for an upgrade yet. AT&T, I have one payment left, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to buy this thing for full price. So that's what I did. So if you're looking at it that way, you feel the pain right up front.
Yeah, well, you know, I can totally understand it that in that situation. It's just when it comes down to it, like you're, I don't know.
If you split it over 2 years.
I love the XS, man. I can't even imagine going backward, which is what I think it would be. It seemed to me like it would be going backward screen-wise.
Well, you would be going backward screen-wise, but I think you might be going forward camera-wise.
How do you?
Because you get the wide-angle portrait mode.
Jeez, I don't know. I'd love the camera on this thing, too.
Yeah, but the XR has the exact same camera. It just doesn't have telephoto.
Yeah, I love the telephoto.
Are you using the telephoto for portrait mode?
I use it for tons of things. Like, for instance, taking pictures of things that are far away. I mean...
Well, just squint.
That's it, that.
Yeah, just squint, okay. Lewis. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
squint and
you know.
Sprint. Squint and closer.
Sprint. There you go. There's your telephoto mode, Lewis. You said you were trying to lose weight. Oh, you need to get yourself the XR and do a little squinting and sprinting and you'll be in shape in no time.
I can't wait to take this thing on vacation, man.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You'll have $250 less in your pocket on that vacation.
$5 during the vacation because it's just a $5 difference.
You mean per month?
Yeah.
That's like one pull on the slots in Lewis's world. Okay, we're this is going off the rails. Let's just go ahead and wrap it. What do you say, guys? Oh my gosh. That's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. And isn't it enough? Aren't you tired? You want to go home? Believe me, I get it. One more quick thanks to Gontry for supporting this episode. If you want to get yourself a BEA Beautiful 3D printed light, you need to check these out. Gontry.com/cultcast. Gontry, GANTRI.com/cultcast. Make sure you use code cultcast at checkout to save $20 off your next purchase. Okay. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. If you want to come say hi to us, we're all on Twitter. I'm at Airfont. Leader is at L. Kane. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. Did I just say that? I just said that, didn't I?
You did,
new
yeah.
New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday
true.
Night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. I just want everyone to know this is the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're gonna hear all week long.
Just keep saying it, man. Just keep saying it. Double and triple.
I'm gonna
down.
Gaslight them all. This is the best. There is no better.
Hello.
What the hell? Hello. Have you guys even heard from Buster?
Buster,
he said earlier today that he had to take his dog to the vet at 2:30 Pacific.
Oh, no.
So, I don't know.
It wasn't anything serious, was it?
Van Nuys. Let me see. I believe what he said was... his ear flap is swollen with liquid and keeps getting bigger.
Oh my God. What?
His what? Ear flap? What the hell's an ear flap?
You're going to have to ask Buster.
Now, was he talking about himself or the dog?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Buster went in to get his shots.
I mean, he is living a haggard life these days. He's like, look, I can't afford the doctor. I got to go to the vet.
He does something in a dog suit, right?
The old furry vet trick.
Right. Hoping the vet won't notice.
Does that sound like a great show or what?
Yeah, I'm psyched.
God, I wish I would have had another cup of coffee.
Yeah. Take another snort of that fine Colombian cocaña. We're going to need it to keep our energy up for this one.
My caffeination schedule is off today.
Is it? Do you not have your coffee with you?
I peaked too early.
Are you one of these guys that just keep it flowing all day? Like Dave Grohl?
I pretty much stick to two cups.
That's good. Dave Grohl was drinking so much coffee that he started having heart problems. God.
Yeah. I mean, I can easily ramp it up like that, but it's not good. And I already, I mean, if I get up in the morning and I don't have a cup of coffee, my head starts hurting.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
So I don't really need any extra help with that.
You know what I've been doing in the morning, since I'm trying to avoid cream right now, is I have been putting a big old tablespoon of coconut oil in my coffee.
Why are you trying to avoid cream?
I'm just trying to avoid dairy right now. I'm doing this cleanse. I'm doing a cleanse, Lewis. You know, I'm trying to rebalance my chi.
All right.
You know, I'm trying to get that soft, smooth baby skin like Alexi Heath, and it's not easy. You got to make some sacrifices.
Try bathing in that coconut oil.
Ooh, baby. I haven't tried that. Have you?
Hell no.
You can't really bathe in it. I mean, it's hard. Or it's like butter.
Yeah, you got to heat it up just a smidge.
Just a smidge. Only a so. Oh, the truth comes out. So you have tried it.
I'm guessing.
Oh,
this is all theoretical.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Okay.
Fill a hot tub with it.
Sure. Why not? That would probably work. Actually, boy, you'd have the most soft, supple skin. You'd be glowing after you came out of there. All your wrinkles would be gone.
You'd look like something that popped out of one of those regeneration pods from a sci-fi movie.
You look like Neo when it came out of the Matrix. Your eyebrows would be gone. Oh, man. But you'd feel amazing.